Do you need to be liked by everybody? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Ginny Priz, who needed to be liked by everyone, and she tried to manage people's perceptions of her.
You know, I think that we all have this feeling like, I want everyone to like me, or at least one time in our life, we want that. We want to be accepted. Mm. And if there's someone that for some reason doesn't like us, it really can get us thinking like, what did I do wrong? You know, especially if we're trying to gain the pleasings from others, we're trying to gain that acceptance from others.
That was me big time. Growing up through high school, I just really needed to be liked by others. You know, if there was somebody who didn't like me, I would start thinking about it all the time and like, gosh, how can I solve that problem? Mm-hmm. Can I do something to change so that they like me?
Yeah.
And that was like my meaning of happiness, but it always left me feeling empty.
Yeah.
And later when I became a Christian, when I came to know Jesus Christ, Jesus revealed to me that my heart was broken, that it was always seeking that acceptance is because my heart was not fully filled. And I didn't have that acceptance meter, I guess you could say, totally filled. But when I came to know him, he filled it saying, "On, I accept you." And he says that to all of us. When you receive Jesus Christ as your savior, he's saying, "I accept you. You don't need any acceptance from anyone else." Mm-hmm. And that's what I experienced. I didn't need anything anymore. And I was just filled. I was made whole. Mm-hmm. Jesus made me whole.
And when you have his acceptance, when you call out to the Lord and he accepts you, it's not a matter of who rejects you, because he said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. Mm. So we're going to go through life where people are not going to like us. And it could be for no good reason other than we're Christians. We believe in the Lord. We love God. So it's not to take it personal. Maybe it's the Jesus in you that people don't like. And we can't try to follow people around and say, well, why don't you like me, and try to please everyone?
Or change.
Because, you know, that could drive you crazy. We just have to give it to God and say, Lord, I pray for those people. Lord, help me to love them despite how they treat me. And let's just get that approval from God. So let's hear right now after the break from Ginny Priz and how she handled approval and disapproval.
Real Life is made possible this week by 32nd Avenue Cleaners and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Whether you need your suit, dress shirt, or dress dry cleaned and pressed, come to 32nd Avenue Cleaners to get the best dry cleaning services in Denver. With over 15 years of experience, 32nd Avenue Cleaners is conveniently located at the corner of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard in Denver. Call them today at 303-480-9647. That's 303-480-9647.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Ginny Priz. She's going to share with us how she dealt with codependency, had a really bad relationship, and how she came to know the Lord and it changed her life. Let's welcome to the show. Ginny, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I understand you had a wonderful upbringing, good parents, but there was something that you struggled with, and it was people pleasing. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I definitely wanted to manage people's perceptions of me growing up. That was a way for me to feel like I was safe. If everyone liked me, then I wouldn't have to worry about anyone being angry with me. Mm-hmm. And that really focused me from an early age, and then it became a habit, and it was so ingrained, it was subconscious. I had no idea I was doing it, but I was putting other people's emotions ahead of my own, and I wasn't really considering what I wanted or needed. So my emotions became stuffed, And that sort of moved into passive aggressiveness, which then would become a moment of explosive anger. And then I would really shame myself into trying to become submissive and push down all of my feelings again. And that cycle really continued for many years.
Wow. So there are people wondering, what is passive aggressive? How does that look when you stuff and then you passive aggress? What does that look like?
Well, it might look like a comment that was sarcastic. It might look like a slamming of a door or the silent treatment, something that looks like it's off. You can kind of tell I'm angry, but I'm not going to actually address it face to face with you.
So that might have made some relationships really hard then, because some people might have felt like, well, hey, this girl, you know, my friend, I don't know if she's mad or not. And maybe that caused a little more uneasiness for you in relationships. Is that right?
Yes, it definitely brought more division than unification. When you're not on the same page with someone, you can't express what you need or how you feel. It's really impossible for them to read your mind.
Right. So you believed there was a God, but you never really followed God in his ways. And you started to, you know, in college, drink alcohol to fit in. And it just became a habit that you continued to really drink. When did you find out that was a problem for you?
I think it was further on down the line after college, after I was coming out of an abusive relationship. I had been dating someone who was a heavy drinker. Because of the codependency, they made me feel safe and secure, but it was not a healthy relationship. And that safety and security was really more of manipulation of me. There was sort of a love bombing that goes on where I was made to feel as if I was on this pedestal and everything was wonderful. I was given gifts and praise, and I thought, this must be love. This is what love is supposed to feel like. And then I would be slowly brought down and shamed. And I would constantly be trying to get back to that high place. And when that relationship didn't work out after a lot of gaslighting, I was very confused and unsure of where I actually stood in relationships or if my feelings were even still my feelings. I was very confused. And because of that, I was really trying to numb out. And I went to the one thing that I knew for sure actually worked, and that was alcohol. It became a friend of mine so that I didn't have to feel lonely or rejected anymore.
And I understand in this relationship, this person that you are with actually proposed to you, and later on you realize actually you are in a narcissistic relationship. What types of personality traits do people have who are narcissistic?
Narcissists will usually focus on themselves and make sure that the people around them are subservient in some way or being controlled by them. They'll draw you in and they will continue that love bombing, as I said, until they will push you down and sort of shame you. So it's a back and forth relationship. You're never really entirely sure where you stand. Some of them are more subtle about it, shall we say. They may tell you, oh no, you never did that, or you never said that, but that's not what I meant. You heard me wrong. That's the kind of gaslighting that I was experiencing. It was just easier to let this person take control and tell me what I was thinking after a while, instead of fighting and arguing, because what I really wanted was that love high again.
And you say gaslighting, what does that mean?
Well, gaslighting is a technique that someone will use to make you feel crazy, I guess, where they are saying, no, I never said that, when you actually did say that, or no, I didn't mean that when I said that. And they will repeat the past to you in a way where you are confused about what actually happened.
So nothing's very clear. And then love bombing, it seems like it's where they keep telling you how much they love you, but there might be more to it.
Yes. For narcissists, it is less about actual love and more about the use that they have for you. As arm candy, I may make them look better, or I might be able to take care of their household. Whatever they need you for is what they're actually considering love.
Wow. So when you were awakened to this situation, it was through a book. It wasn't even a Christian book, but the person talked about God. And in that, it completely changed your life. Tell me about that.
Well, at that point, I was searching for something, some kind of healing, some kind of peace, because all of this relationship turmoil was going on. And I did have the Christian background, so I knew about God, and I knew that he was supposed to love us. So when this book asked me to open myself up to God to listen, I found in that moment God met me exactly there. I did open my heart to him, and in my mind and in my heart, I could sort of hear these whispers from him saying, I am here. I have never left you. I'm so glad that you're wanting to reconnect with me. I've never left you, and I love you. And that was just reassurance for me, because at that point I thought, oh, I've done everything wrong as far as the Christian view is concerned.
Right. You messed it up, maybe you felt.
Right. I've been drinking. I'm living with this man that we're not married. So obviously I'm not doing it the pure way, but God was still telling me, I'm here and I love you. And that was so comforting to me. I wanted more of that.
Wow. So as you pursued the Lord, he totally changed your life, set you free completely from codependency. In fact, he healed you from all panic attacks that you had and from alcoholism. And I believe that's the answer people are looking for who are listening to our show. What is one thing you would say to somebody who's struggling with either codependency in an unhealthy relationship and even drinking alcohol? What would you say to them?
I would say that your story isn't over. Even when you're in a place where you feel hopeless, if you woke up this morning, God definitely has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you to move forward, and he has a heart for healing. And that healing journey doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes effort to be in a relationship with him and follow him, listen to him. His heart is for restoring you and redeeming you and using all of your hurts to actually be a help in someone else's life after you've experienced the healing.
Amen.
I have been in that place of hopelessness, and that's my number one thing. I just don't want anyone to feel like this is the end of their story. There is more.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jenny. We're going to pray for those who feel that hopelessness. And we know from what you said and what the Lord says that this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. So we're going to pray for our guests. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank God for what he's done in your life.
Thank you for having me.
You know, there comes times in our life where a relationship breakup or something happens. And when there's that codependency, you know, codependency usually comes when we're not made whole and we're really depending on something else, someone else to fill something that no one else can fill but God alone. So I sense there's someone listening right now and saying, you know, that's me. I think I'm in this type of relationship, or I'm not sure. But the good news is if Jesus makes you whole, your relationships will become whole. So mm-hmm. Jesus, we're praying right now that you would make all of our listeners, we just cry out to you, we say, Jesus, make us whole emotionally so that we can live and have normal relationships all around us. Mm-hmm. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.